Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
It felt good to get a win, although I will say seeing the graphic on Twitter with our beloved black and gold crest as one of four teams that still do not have an FBS win, that didn't feel good. But that's okay. You know what? This game was the game that we needed. It's going to be a momentum shift for the rest of the season. Saw a lot of positives. Still some things we need to work on, but overall, I think a positive win for the team. And on we go. Let's talk about Louisiana Monroe. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. I'm your host, Jordan, in Atlanta this week. Joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and James is on a secret mission with the U.S. Navy. James, since you have the coolest intro out of all of us, what's going on? What are you doing right now? If you can tell.
I can promise you it's not cool, but... I'm having fun on my, just flying around.
All right, Dan, you went camping at Round Pond, I believe. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we rented a little teardrop trailer, pulled it up there, dropped it Saturday morning before the game, went to the game, tailgated, went to the Thayer roof, watched the back half of the Tennessee-Alabama game, and then went back and got in the teardrop. Interesting experience. Highly recommend it, but that's like a different podcast with the teardrop.
Got it. Well, we won't get into the granola podcast here. Rob, how's Vietnam?
It's all right. And like I said, much better being at home watching a game, particularly one that was kind of contentious with the Bama-Tennessee game. And we were hosting, so we had some people over, and I was sneaking out. And my wife was like, where the hell are you going? You know, it's like, I'm watching it. And she's like, yeah, really, dude? I'm like, yes, like this one's going to matter, you know, at least in the hearts and minds of college football. But other than that, like everything is going pretty well. Weather's starting to cool down. We've had some pretty streaky weather since the hurricane ended. But other than that, looking forward to this week, watching Louisiana Monroe, went back and looked at a couple of their games, some highlights. This looks like a winnable game. We'll dive into that a little bit deeper.
Yeah. Speaking of, Alabama, Tennessee, Saturday night, I was like, hey, you know what? Like, I want to do something. Don't want to go to a sports bar. Like, how about we go to the, the Mexican restaurant nearby? So we go to this little Mexican restaurant, and it is packed with Alabama and Tennessee fans crowded around the bar, drinking margaritas, eating chips, and watching the game. And of course, this was like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So
my little
evening in a Mexican restaurant was not really quiet. So,
but that's an amazing game. We put the tailgate TV out there. You know, we had the little battery that you recommended to us. And, there was 100 people gathered around that team after the Army game.
That's awesome. It's definitely a classic. I saw Tennessee got fined $100,000. So, wish it was a million because, Tennessee can go rotten hell. But
by the way, $100,000 is how much they've had to pay extra to get Akron to come play them.
You win some, you lose some. It's it is interesting to think like, well, what if Army had played them? Probably wouldn't have won the way the season's going, if we're being totally honest. But what would the Alabama-Tennessee game have ended differently if Army had played Tennessee 2 weeks ago? I don't know the answer to that. But you know who does have some answers? Our guy Craig Oxane. Dan, what's his deal?
Yeah, man, we've talked about this before. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1995. He is licensed to lend in all 50 states. He's one of the biggest VA lenders in the entire country. Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates, which you probably need right about now. He's going to give you the best deal he possibly can. And here's the bottom line, right? The mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place. They give you legitimately 2 inches of paperwork to sign when you're going through it. There's every possible like codicil and paragraph and subparagraph that you can imagine. And it's scary as hell because you're about to sign for much more money than you could easily put together. This is why you're borrowing it. So as you're doing all that, you want to deal with somebody who actually cares about you, who is a real person, not a call center, not like some random big box bank, not a mindless website, not somebody who just wants to make a buck off you, but a person. And this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is a member of the class of 94. He's a West Point graduate. He's helping us stay in business here at Azure Football. And we are trying to introduce you to the guy who's going to get you the best mortgage deal that he possibly can. Like, this is how it works. So Craig does not charge lenders fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. Guys, get that money. $1,300. Like, I don't even know how to help you if that doesn't matter to you. So anyway, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. His link is on our website, you know, azurefootball.com. Look it up. Fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to him in a couple of hours. He really makes it easy.
Yeah, mortgage rates are all over the place right now. So having someone in your corner who really understands what's going on in the macro market, but also your micro market, it's really important. So if you're trying to navigate buying a home right now, you need to call Craig.
Yeah. Because it's tough. And you want somebody that you can trust. So we're only offering you a person you can trust in the mortgage process. If that means nothing to you, okay, fine.
Well, hopefully it does mean something to you. And for what it's worth, it means something that Army beat Colgate this past weekend, 42-17. We're 2-4 on the season, 1-4 for bowl eligibility. We looked really good on offense despite missing our top four playmakers, Tyre Tyler, Jacoby Buchanan, Tyson Riley, and Tyrell Robinson were all out. And you got to wonder if, you know, that was kind of a strategic business decision on behalf of some of the coaches, keeping those guys out, giving them a week to kind of get healthy. I know Tyrell Robinson, lower body injury, that might not have been a business decision, that might have been a medical decision. But Tyson Riley's kind of battling a hamstring injury, I think. And so giving them a week to sit out is probably not a bad thing. So even though, you know, we had some of our most dynamic playmakers sitting on the bench, our top nine rushers still averaged at least 5.5 yards a carry. Jamel Jones started, looked great running the offense, 12 carries, 113 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lead Hayden Reed went in at fullback, 11 carries, 87 yards. And a touchdown. Markell Johnson, 9 carries, 76 yards, and 1 touchdown. That's crazy. Adrian Marshall got action again, looked great in the speed back role, 4 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown. Really promising talent from some plebes and yearlings. So I know earlier in the season we were talking about, you know, potentially some issues at depth at fullback and depth at kind of speed back, but seeing some of these younger guys get reps. Granted, it was against an FCS team, but seeing them get reps kind of, you know, inspires a little bit of confidence. However, on the other side of the football, the Army defense still leaves a lot to be desired. The game was competitive for like a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. We allowed 17 points. 7 of those came off of a turnover in our territory. We held Colgate to 149 yards passing and forced 2 fumbles, recovered 1, and an interception. Stopped 2 out of 3 fourth down conversions, but we allowed 193 yards rushing on 6 yards per carry. This Army run defense is just continuing to hemorrhage yardage. 7 for 13 on third down conversions. Dan, I know you were at the game. You saw some really interesting adjustments happening on defense. So can you talk about that? But before I pass it to you, I also want to, Andre Carter did not play this week. We think some other guys on defense sat as well, so that might have contributed. But Dan, the defense looked very different first half to second half. What happened?
Go ahead. Actually, Rob, you want to take this one? I think you might have had more thoughts on this than I did.
Well, 2 things for the defense. Like I said, the plays that I watched, I went back and rewatched the game, of course, and the hand fighting, man. Like the plays that there were stunts on and there was movement on the line, they did better than they were when they were in their regular base 3-4 defense. And so a lot of guys were catching. But then when the guys were like trying to actively use a move, like a swim move or some type of stunt, or even like a, you know, they were doing some twists up front, and those were starting to break them loose and kind of forcing the quarterback out of the pocket. And so, you know, the upside was, hey, we're getting some movement off the line. The pocket was moving. The downside was Fresha was a monster. That dude was a beast and had some skills. And so when he turned the corner or he broke contain, he had the ability to kind of move forward. But I will say, like, I was very, very impressed with the second half. Of course, 17 points in the first half. They had the one long pass toward the end of the half, which I didn't care for. But coming out after halftime, whatever coach said to them in the locker room worked, because I saw a lot more gang tackling in the second half, as well as them getting, you know, the defensive stops. So they had scored no points in the second half of the game. So that's encouraging, but it needs to be that way for every game. Like, if they can start hot and finish hot, great. If they can't start hot, at least finish strong in the second half like they did to keep the games a lot closer and winnable. And so I think our defense benefited from whatever adjustments were said at the end of the first half.
Yeah, the thing I noticed, Jordan, was just Coach Munkin got actively involved in the defense after that first touchdown. Like, he came over and he got in the meeting and, you know, was visibly like chewing ass. And, you know, that's what coaches do. I don't want to make too much of it, but it was noticeable that, you know, some of the play, some of the things started to get cleaned up shortly thereafter. And I don't really think that Colgate would have scored that second touchdown without sort of getting the ball at the 48-yard line or whatever. I wouldn't say it was a gift. They still had to drive, but it definitely helped that they got in plus territory.
Sure. Dan, what else did you see being at the game? Anything of note?
I mean, just, you know, offense looked good. You know, they didn't miss a beat. You're out there with your third-string quarterback, plebe fullback, you know, essentially your third-string and fourth-string fullbacks. You know, Ijon Marshall's been getting a lot of reps this season, but this is the first time he was, like, really the featured back. And these guys were running like a well-oiled machine. You know, Coach Vitti has the offensive line just playing outstanding football. And I got to say, too, it's worth noting, like, we've been pretty hard on the Army defense this season, but they've given up a lot more yards than they've necessarily given up points. And just in terms of the red zone, like, they're much better red zone defense. They're actually the 55th best red zone defense. Believe it or not, they're actually a better red zone defense than Navy. I was really surprised about that. They've allowed just something like 18 touchdowns and 27 red zone trips, plus 3 field goals. You know, considering that they've been put in some really ugly situations off of turnovers, like, repeatedly this season, it's actually not too bad. And the other thing that I noticed is this is actually a really good passing defense all of a sudden. Like, they're the number 30th passing defense. So the formula is there, right? Despite all of the crazy crap that we've seen this season, the formula is there. You know, they're giving up yards between the 20s. Like, okay, who cares? But if they can tighten it down in the red zone and they can, you know, force field goals, get the occasional turnover or turnover on downs, like, that is how this team wins. They just got to stop putting the ball on the ground.
That's interesting. You know, if you look at it statistically, our defense isn't that bad. You know, comparatively, but it definitely doesn't feel that way. That's interesting. You know, it total segue, but everyone says, you know, in Atlanta, oh, the public transit's safer in Atlanta than New York, but, like, it does not feel that. And so, like, it's like, there's no perception of safety on the MARTA in Atlanta. Like, I feel very safe in the New York subway. So, it's interesting that statistically our defense is really, you know, actually not that bad, but it does not feel that way at all. It feels like we're just getting shredded on every play.
This is why you can't always trust the eye test, right? Like, why I really believe in looking at the numbers and seeing what the numbers are telling you, because if you just go by, oh, this is what I see and this is how I feel, this is how you come up with the worst hot takes that anybody's ever heard. So let's don't do that. You know, let's have a little faith. Like I said, these guys have plenty of talent. The formula is there. They just got a couple of things they got to tighten up.
Yeah, that's fair. James, I see here in the outline that you have a separate set of notes that you'd like to review.
I just wrote mine down on a separate sheet of paper.
Okay.
Yeah. So when it comes to the defense, I think Dan's right. This red zone defense is really the saving grace here. And their pass defense is doing well. What I've seen from them is Andre Carter dropping back into pass coverage a lot more often. Those outside linebackers are not playing rush defense nearly as much as they used to. And what we haven't seen this year is Army getting beat long through the air. In the past, you'd see that. Sometimes it was just a 15-yard PI. Sometimes it was a 30 to 40-yard, you know, pass that Army's opponents would get. You haven't really seen that a whole heck of a lot this year. They've had really good passing defense, especially when it comes to long throwing attempts. Now, what you do when you do that is your run defense. And we've seen that. And then once we get to the red zone where you don't have to worry about getting beat long because they're already there, our defense tends to step up because those outside linebackers can play a lot more run defense than dropping into pass coverage. And I think that's a function of the talent that they have with all of the talent they just lost in the offseason, and just a coaching decision that this is the way that we're going to play with the talent that we have. So I don't necessarily mind it. I think that's the reason why it's happening. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, this defense has been getting a lot more short fields and stuff like that, and not as much time off, and they're just being asked to do something that previous Army defenses haven't been asked to do. So not the worst defense in the world. I've been less down on the defense this year than everybody else. Obviously not last year's defense, but it is what it is, and I am still somewhat optimistic that they'll improve. When it comes to offense, T2 and Ballard were on the depth chart last week. I think they were available, and I think that the offensive staff basically said, hey, Jamil Jones is the guy this week. This game doesn't matter, right? If we lose this game, it doesn't affect bowl eligibility. It only hurts our pride. So Jamil Jones is going to get the ball. We're going to experiment. We're going to see how it goes. And it went well. Jamil Jones obviously performed really, really well. You got to see the four stringer, the future Bryson Daly come in those last two drives. He looked really good. So that was encouraging to see. The only bad thing was was Jones not jumping on that ball that turned into a fumble recovery on that weird pass that got overturned and was ruled a lateral. But other than that, Jones looked really good all day. I was really happy with it. I got a question for you guys. When was the last time you remember a perimeter run in the first quarter?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
I've always, you know, have a couple of beers up in the lots, wander down to the stadium, and I'm not necessarily thinking play selection in those early going. You know, you might get slightly better analysis from me in the second half.
I feel like what happens is they absolutely start punching the fullbacks until it doesn't work. And then they run to the outside. And every time they run to the outside, they're picking up 8, 10, 12 yards at a minimum. And that usually happens sometime between the beginning of the second and the beginning of the third quarter. I really wish they'd start experimenting with that earlier in the game. I don't know. I feel like those fullback dives are going to open up a lot more for you. First place from scrimmage is a run to is a toss to Ajon Marshall that picks up 10 yards, right? Like, if you just wait until you have to, you sort of wasted some plays early. So I don't know. I'd like to see that. And then all these fancy plays they've been doing. Fancy plays are great if you've nailed the option down firm, but they haven't done that yet. I think there were a couple of play calls, which they can afford to take a risk in a game like that, so I'm not blaming them. But going forward, getting fancy has not worked out well for them this year. I'd rather see them try the perimeter more often if they need to try something different. So those are my thoughts on offense and special teams real quick. I don't know what the rugby team's doing. I know they're the number one ranked team in the country, but if they could spare a bench player that knows how to punt, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, you know, with Army punters back like 2016, 2016, they were just terrible. And, you know, we really got spoiled the last couple of years. You know, I can't say all the good kickers went to Alabama because that's obviously not true, but they all went somewhere. So let's talk the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to add a good on here, and then Dan, I'll pass it over to you to take the rest of them. I think the play calling between Brett Davis and Cody Worley has been great this year. And there's been a couple times where, you know, we can kind of disagree, but overall, I think it's been a lot more creative and innovative. We've done a lot more with the option and done a lot more to get our playmakers involved, especially on the outside.
I'll agree with you. I don't feel like they're holding back. Like they go after the, you know, after the jugular from the first play. It'll be interesting to see what they do against Air Force because they always call that game so conservatively, but wouldn't be surprised if they go after it there too.
Yeah, I agree. You can take the rest of them.
Oh, yeah. Jamil Jones, like we said, could absolutely start for this team. It's kind of a fluke. Not a fluke, but his being third on the depth chart, I think really has to do more with things that did not happen this season than anything else. But he's got all the tools and I thought he played very well, made all the right reads. Again, we talked about this, starting to see some real depth develop in the fullback room. And, you know, like we said, despite everything, Army's passing defense is a legit team strength. Like, they're 30th in the nation, giving up less than 200 yards per game, and critically, less than 8 yards per attempt. And this is with games against Coastal, Wake Forest, UTSA. These are not, like, casual passing teams. These guys all throw down the field. And then, you know, last good thing, no fumbles this week. Not going to count that backwards pass. I don't know what that was. I would say it's not a fumble, though. Bad decision to throw it or just badly blocked. I don't know, but I don't call that charity. Yeah. I was surprised that got overturned. I would have thought that was the old call, remains. We're just going to let that one at the way it was called on the field. But anyway, Rob, you want to take the bad?
Yeah, the bad. So these guys have not been good against mobile quarterbacks. They weren't good on Saturday. Like I said, Brescia, that kid is a monster. He had 13 carries for 78 yards and one TD. It's frustrating because Brescia leads Colgate in rushing yardage, so we knew that he was going to run the ball a lot, and it was just, you know, got a scheme against a guy that's like that. And that's been the thing that we've seen all season, is like a guy that's kind of mobile, taking advantage of the offense or the defense. Army's struggling to get off the field on third down, and a lot of it is because, again, when the QBs break containment, they're starting to. I will tell you, you know, one of the things that I did see, though, is like forcing a field goal, that's a stop for the defense as far as they're concerned, so that's good for their mental health at the very least on the board. James, you want to take the ugly?
Yeah, I'll take the ugly. So we have, I mean, it's a 42-17 win, so at the end of the day, not trying to harp on anything, but they did well. I guess the only thing I'd add is punting, like we said, they got to get that figured out. You have Air Force and Navy coming up. You know, those are going to be field position games. You can't afford to have a 17-yard punt in a field position game. So that's about all I'd add, but really happy that we got a victory.
Yeah, and speaking of victories, I would like to let everybody know that I went 3-0 on Fact or Fiction this week. So Dan said that Army gets enough turnovers to get back to even in turnover margin. I said fiction. That was correct. Rob said Army fullbacks score 3 touchdowns. I said fiction. That was also fiction. And finally, I said that we have a play of greater than 50 yards, and that was a fact. So 3-0, back on track. You'll love to see it.
Golf clap for that, Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. It's the small things in life that really, you know, keep me going and get me out of bed in the morning, and winning Factor Fiction is one of them. Another thing is the As for Football mailing list, because if you like Army football but don't like social media, you should sign up for our mailing list. Go to asforfootball.com/subscribe to get on the list. Send out one email per week with links to all that week's content. It's so easy. Caveman could do it. I can't believe I just whipped that out, but I'm on a roll. And, you know, it's easy. Sign us. Sign yourself up. Sign your dad up. Keep up with Army sports and ask for football. Let's talk Louisiana Monroe. They used to be the worst team in college football, but they've been a little better the last 2 years. I wouldn't say that they're back. Or that they're good. I don't know if they were ever good to be considered back, and I don't know if they're exactly good. Lost at Texas 52-10, beat an FCS team 35-7, lost at Alabama 63-7, beat Louisiana 21-17, lost to Coastal 28-21, lost to South Alabama 41-34. I guess what really stands out is they beat Louisiana. You know, Louisiana did just lose their coach to Florida last season, so. You know, keeping it close against Coastal Carolina, but I don't know. This is going to be a game, I think, similar to Georgia State, where they're looking for kind of a signature win, having lost to Texas and Alabama, and we could be that for them, but we're not going to give them the opportunity. And offensively, have we seen this offense before? Is it something that we can prepare for and watch film, or is this totally unique?
I feel like this is exactly what we've seen all season long. You know, it's another running quarterback this week, probably more of a passing threat than a breakaway running threat. But still, I mean, you know, we've talked quarterback Chandler Rogers, 83 carries, 190 yards. It's just 2.3 yards per carry, but he scored 3 touchdowns. He's got the second most carries on the team. Like, the dude will 100% take off. Like, he will absolutely run the ball. Passing 118 of 168 for 1,400 yards. He's completing 70% of his passes. That's outstanding. He's got 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's taken 17 sacks. So, you know, maybe it's just that his offensive line isn't like particularly good. He has no choice but to run. Who knows? 17 is a lot of sacks, but you got Alabama and Texas on there. You know, I don't know. You could easily take 16 sacks just in a game against Alabama. So, running back Malik Jackson, 89 carries for 331 yards, 3.7 yards per carry. He's got 5 touchdowns. Also got 9 receptions for 31 yards. But these guys really like to throw the ball downfield. Wide receiver Tyrone Howell, 24 catches for 505 yards with 4 touchdowns. That's something absurd, like 24 yards per catch. I mean, the dude is getting down the field. They've got seven different receivers averaging 11-plus yards per catch. So that's average. Like, these dudes are down there. So overall, yeah, man, broadly similar to what we saw, at least in terms of statistics, to Georgia State, although Louisiana Monroe's quarterback doesn't have that kind of speed, thank God almighty. But they're running twice as much as they throw, like exactly, you know, 2x as many times as they throw, throwing deep a lot. Worth noting, too, that they've lost 4 fumbles and 8 total 8 total turnovers with the interceptions. So, you know, they're having trouble scoring points. That's kind of a lot of turnovers. They're averaging just 22.3 points per game. So, I don't know that it's the world's greatest matchup for Army, although you would think that we could probably slow down that passing attack.
One would hope. Rob, how's their defense?
All right, so their front seven looks pretty strong. Their top 3 tacklers are 2 linebackers. So you have Tristan Diggers, who has 39 tackles, 26 solo, 1 sacks, and 3 picks. Then they have Zach Woodard, who has 38 tackles, 25 solo, and 2 sacks. And then Kennard Snyder, who is a defensive end, has 22 solo tackles, 1 sack. Collectively, they have 13 sacks as a team. So they're getting after the quarterback. Upside for Army is we run the ball a lot, so they're probably not going to have to be too concerned unless we get forced into passing situations. But again, that does not bode well, given the fact that the 2 middle linebackers are probably the most active defense. So it goes back to James' previous comment about setting the edge early and getting outside. Because you set the edge early, that starts to get those linebackers to cheat out a little bit more, and then you can come back inside with them. Their rushing defense has allowed 132.6 yards per game on 4.3 yards per carry, but they seem to be falling apart. Like, they let Coastal rush against them for 187 yards with 3 touchdowns and 6.2 yards per carry. South Alabama walloped them, 195 yards, 2 TDs, 4.8 yards per carry. Their problem really is in the back end. They've allowed 272 yards passing per game. Coastal threw 246 yards and 1 TD 2 weeks ago. And then South Alabama basically put the whole team on their back in the passing game, had 420 yards and 3 TDs last week. South Alabama put up 615 yards of total offense in their game last week. I watched the highlights from that game, and I don't know if they were highlights. They were highlights for South Alabama, low lights for ULM. A very good. Overall, the team has a -2 turnover margin. They have 5 picks, 3 forced fumbles, 1 recovered, and they have 4 picks and 4 fumbles. So there's a lot of opportunity to grab on our defense, but for these guys, they do have problems holding on to it. They don't really force a lot of fumbles, but they can ball hawking guys in the second. Moving on to special teams, their kicker, Callum Sutherland, is 21 for 21, and he's 3 for 4 on field goals. He's on 40 yards. But the punter, going back to the discussion about field position control in the game, their punter is averaging 48 yards per punt. Slow down. And that could be a problem, a slow kind of grinded out field. So that could be but I'll pass it back over.
Well, real quick, James, you said set the edge early. I got it. We've also kind of established that, you know, Brent Davis is not going through his normal playbook. They're opening things up. If you were sitting in the booth with Brent Davis, what would be your first play of the game? Are you going to throw it? Are you going to do a sweep? Like, what would you do first play of the game?
Well, first of all, I'm not Brent Davis, so thank God I don't have to make that decision. And I, as much as we criticize play calling, you know, I have a lot of respect for guys that are taking on that much pressure. But with that being said, think first play of the game, I would run that's tough. I think I would run just a normal option to the, assuming the ball is centered in the middle of the, field, meaning it was a touchback. Run it to whichever side the quarterback prefers with Ajon Marshall receiving the pitch and just run option to the outside, whichever way the quarterback wants to go. And if it's not center, if it's on one of the hash marks, then run it to the open side, not the short side. It's a play they run all the time. It's not out of the ordinary. It's just, I don't know if any of their games this year started with anything but some sort of QB power or fullback dive or fullback pass. I just want to see something to the outside to get it going and to get those linebackers cheating outside early.
Yeah. Okay. No, I agree with that. James, we'll keep it with you. What are your thoughts on the matchup?
Big thing, honestly, only one thing really jumped out to me when I was looking at this ULM team. It's that their third down conversion percentage is pretty abysmal. Army's is not great this year, and we're still sitting above 50%. Their third down conversion percentage is 37%. They're getting long passes. They're moving the ball down the field, but they turn the ball over, and they don't convert when it matters. And I feel like as many yards as Army's defense has given up this year, when it matters, they seem to make a play a lot of the time. And so I think you can look at the box score after the game and look at that third down convert percentage. And if it's north of 50 for ULM, I would be shocked if Army wins. But if they can keep it around where ULM has been, that 35 to 45%, I think Army has a really good shot at not only winning, but winning by a decent.
Okay. Dan, what are your thoughts? You agree with what James is saying?
Yeah, I mean, kind of in a different way. I would say that this team is kind of struggling in a lot of the same ways we've seen Army struggling. They probably would win more if they could avoid putting the ball on the ground, which is definitely also true of the Black Knights. And just when they think things might start turning around, they let South Alabama turn that game into an absolute track meet, which we've also seen at Mikey Stadium a couple of times this season. There's absolutely no reason why Army can't run the ball on these guys. Despite all the yardage they've given up, optimistic that this defensive scheme can work against a team like this. You know, as long as they don't get beat over the top, I don't think that these guys are going to like power run against Army's defense in the red zone. So, you know, that's something like that is the way that this Army team is built to play. I think the game's going to come down to turnovers. Both these teams have struggled, with an issue on defense, Army with rushing defense, ULM with passing defense. Both these teams have put the ball on the ground much more than they'd like to. You know, if the Black Knights can hold on to the football, they ought to do well. And if they put it on the ground a couple of times, like, that's going to be trouble.
Yeah, it's very uncharacteristic of us this season, the number of turnovers that we've had. Rob, how do you think defense is going to play into this game? You know, like Dan said, ULM struggling a lot of the same ways that Army is.
Yeah,
James says it's about field position. Dan says it's about turnovers. Do you think it's going to come down to the defense?
I think it's going to be the defense forcing a turnover. You know, so I'm going to kind of combine all those things together just because, you know, given the fact that we have some playmakers on, you know, our side of the field that are a little bit better than what I've seen from ULM, I think it's going to come down to, a strip sack from the defensive line. They're going to get loose and hit this guy and knock the ball loose. Or Markel Broughton's going to step in front of a pass, or maybe even Andre Carter, because he's known to get a pick or two as well. And I think that's going to be the difference in the ball game. But one thing, I'm going to jump back on the offense, which I rarely do, but the one thing that was super impressive about this week that it really, really was one of the keys to success was ball distribution. So if you look at the number of folks that touched the football this week, yes, we had some people out, but look at the way that the ball was distributed, regardless of who was playing. If we can get that level of distribution on the offense, I think it makes it incredibly difficult for defense to kind of key on a specific player. And so by having Jamel Jones distribute the ball, I think there's five different players with touchdowns in that game. So if you look at it from that perspective, you have five different players touching the ball and scoring. That creates a more of a conundrum for the defense because I'm already trying to read the triple option. Now everybody's touching the ball, so I don't know who's going to get it, and it makes it a lot more difficult. And so I think that's going to be the difference in the game, particularly when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, because ULM is going to have a much more difficult problem set to solve with multiple players being the ball on Army, vice, knowing that there's only two really heavy hitters on the ground for ULM and then the one passing. So if we can lock that passing threat down and get some pressure on the quarterback and maintain contain, I think the game becomes much easier for Army to win if they can contain the quarterback and force a turn.
Yeah. I think we've had a really good defensive conversation this week talking about just trying to put things in perspective. But no matter how you slice it, our ability to our lack of ability to contain the quarterback is concerning. You know, thankfully, we're not looking at Malcolm Perry at the end of the season. But it's, you know, as soon as you get a guy who has a little bit of speed and mobility outside the pocket, it seems like we lose him very easily. And, you know, then that hurts our third and our fourth down. Our third or fourth down percentages. And I think that might be the number one thing that defensively we need to work on is our ability to, but let's go ahead and we'll move on to fact or fiction. And Dan, why don't you open us up?
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Army has zero turnovers this week. That's my fact or fiction. We commit zero turnovers.
I want to say fact.
It's good. Jordan?
You know what? Having gone 3-0 last week, being negative, I'm going to go ahead and flip my strategy. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say facts.
Good. James?
Oh, you guys are killing me. Has that happened this year?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
I
maybe
see
against
it
Villanova.
Before. Yeah. I'm going to go fact just because ULM hasn't done a great job in the turnovers either. I'm starting to have some faith in this offense. I'm going to go fact.
I mean, this has got to be the thing that they focus on in practice this week, right? Don't put the ball on the ground. If you don't put the ball on the ground, we win the game. So we're in fact agreement, but this is aspirational more than anything else, I think. So this is what we're hoping for. Rob?
All right, I'm going to say Army gets 2.5 sacks this game, and that's going to be distributed potentially between three. I think one of the facts, and my thought on this is if we can get 2 sacks, that's good. I think one of the stats that we haven't been talking about this season, because we haven't seen a lot, is QB hurries. And we got to get some pressure on this quarterback, because I think this guy will fold if they come at him pretty well and get a couple of shots on him. But I think 2.5 sacks is reasonable. Guys, what do you think?
If it was 2, I might agree with that, but I'm going to go fiction. 2.5, over 2.5 sacks is a lot of sacks, unfortunately. I want to have faith. I want to believe Andre Carter is finally going to bust loose and have that game we're all waiting for. But man, we haven't seen that thing on the horizon yet.
Well, for perspective, Chandler Rogers has taken 17 sacks this season. So he's taking about 2.5 sacks per game. So I'm going to go ahead and say fact.
It's a good one, Jordan.
James? I'm going to say fiction. I think that Army's going to be keying in on stopping long passing plays. They're not going to be rushing as many people as they normally do. They might have an extra one go back into pass coverage. And while they have been averaging about 2.5 sacks a game, sacks allowed per game, I'm hoping they have a lot fewer plays from scrimmage this game. So I'm going to 2. I might say fact. 2.5 seems a little much. So I'm going to go.
All right. James, what's your fact or fiction for us?
Jamel Jones starts at quarterback this week for your Black Knights of the Hudson. Dan.
I think that's fiction. I haven't heard about Tyre Tyler being that banged up. And, these guys, I really, like it or love it, lump it. Tyler is the fastest quarterback. He has an elite cut upfield. That dude, I know he's not the biggest guy, but he's a good player in this offense. And if he's available, I think he starts.
All right, Rob.
I'm kind of torn on this because, again, Jamel Jones did perform quite well at the end of the Wake Forest game and starting in the last one. I think if your guy's ready to go, your guy's ready to go. And we've seen the coaching staff at Army hang their hat on Tyre Tyler. And so I think he's going to start. So I'm going to say fiction.
Jordan?
I'm going to say fiction for the same reason Rob said. I think he might get reps, but I think we're going to go back to Tyler and Ballard.
All right. I'm going to go fact. Just to be in disagreement, I guess. I don't know. I think he's done really well. I don't think it's the best idea in a game that kind of seems must win to start a guy who hasn't played in 2 weeks and who, whether that be Ballard or T2, and the last time he did play, didn't really get much done. I don't know. I may be wrong, but I just think it's a good idea to send Jones, who's already got a foot running out there, and see if he can't start off the right way. But I'll go fact, but that's it.
Coaching staff said that they weren't trying to rest. They said Tyre Tyler was injured, but they said they weren't trying to rest Ballard, that he was available. They just felt like Jamel Jones practiced better during the week. I believe that or not. I don't know if I believe that, but that is what came out. So you might be right. Like, it's not crazy. I just don't think I believe.
Gotcha.
Interesting. Well, that's the end of our show. Do we have a favorite thing this week, guys?
I just enjoyed being back up there with my classmates. Had a big class of 95 tailgate. Got the tailgate TV out there. Had a bunch of cadets out there. We got the old teardrop trailer, which maybe that's a whole conversation for the off season because people were pretty fascinated by it. If you get the chance to camp at Round Pond, that is a must do. Those slots are hard to get, though, so you sort of have to make reservations in advance. So if you're looking for something to do, that's a fun thing to do.
And you continued against your will to increase the number of Crimmins family members that you've met.
That's right. I forgot. I met your dad. Yes. My other favorite thing is that I met James's dad. He is a Navy grad, but he was cool. I really liked him. Met James' mom. Did not meet your sister, even though apparently she was somewhere there for WKDT. So I still have one more Crimmins to meet, apparently. But yeah, no, your dad was awesome. I totally blanked that. I'm sorry. Thanks for bringing that up.
No, you can't.
They're just trying to block it out. All right, wait till you make him relive the trauma, James. That's cool. No. Jokes aside, looking forward to this weekend. Looking forward to see what we can do. And looking forward to watching Army beat ULM.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to FireBarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, FireBarn.com to learn more, or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.